Dear radio friends, we return today to our study and discussion of the profound passage on marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. It was especially in commemoration of Mother's Day last week Sunday that we were looking at the gift of a wife as the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, explains that for us in Ephesians 5, verses 28 through 30. If you didn't hear the message last week, I would like to encourage you by all means to get a copy of it by writing to us, either a tape copy or a written copy, because what we're going to say today is going to build upon and continue in the thought of that message. Let me refresh your memory by reading the passage once again for you. As I said, it's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 through 30. We read, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." We were talking last week about the fact that the calling of a husband is to nurture and cherish his wife. He is to do that because God has united us to our wife as one body. Marriage is to represent the intimate union of the Lord and the church, which is the theme that runs through the whole passage on marriage here in Ephesians 5. And a believing husband, understanding that profound truth, that marriage exists first of all for God's purpose, first of all to be a picture of Christ in the church, a man will understand, therefore, that he is united by God irrevocably and inseparably to his wife, and he is therefore to love her, even as Christ loves his church. But how? Well, the Word of God is answering us. He's saying to us, well, you must nurture and cherish your wife. And we looked at the meaning of those words last week, but now let's continue and let's answer the question, how does a husband actually do this? How are we to nurture and cherish? Well, the Bible is answering, first of all, with these words, as the Lord the church. In other words, the calling of a husband towards his wife is to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that you must take the Lord's nurturing and cherishing of his church as the pattern for your life with your wife. Did you hear that? You must take the Lord's nurturing and cherishing of the church as your pattern for your life with your wife. That's the Word of God. There must be, as Christ nurtures and cherishes his church, so you must nurture and cherish your wife by having a conscious purpose to develop your wife emotionally and spiritually before God. Notice, you are to do this to your wife, not only to the soul of your wife, not only to the physical life of your wife, not only to your wife's spirit, but your wife. So ought men to love their wife. You love your wife. Everything that makes her a wife, her whole being, she is not just your wife in physical terms or in terms of her soul or her spiritual state, her body or mind, but in terms of her whole being, the totality of her body, emotionally, spiritually, she is to be the object of your nurturing love. This nurturing and cherishing must be within the compass of the whole wife. You are to seek prayerfully that she develops spiritually, physically, emotionally, and that is to be carried out in specifics. It involves you as a husband in the conscious effort to assist her spiritual development. If you are to nourish and cherish your wife as the Lord the church, you are called of God to lead your wife in her spiritual development. Now get a hold of that as a believing husband. And I pray that young men, unmarried men, are hearing the words of this program. And I pray that you are inviting such young men to listen with you to hear this word of God. We must get a hold of that. The husband is called of God to involve himself, to see as his purpose his wife's spiritual development. Now granted, a wife shall answer to God for the state of her soul. No wife shall be ever able to hide behind her husband for her failures toward God. Romans 14 verse 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself, herself, to God." But every husband has the peculiar responsibility towards his wife because God has constituted him as the head of his wife. Verse 23 of Ephesians 5, "For the husband is the head of the wife." Husband, do you daily and specifically pray for your wife? If you don't, you are not nurturing and cherishing her as the Lord, the church. For one of the main channels by which God causes the child of God to grow is by prayer, and thus you as her husband are to bring her to the throne of grace. You are appointed of God to pray for her. Do you daily pray for her and with her? It's amazing how many men don't pray with their wives. They eat with them, they live with them, they do many things with them. But what about the most intimate bond of spiritual union? Prayer. It is as a man earnestly prays with his wife that she enters with him into the presence of God, that secret holy place. There she learns to pray as she hears you pray. As she hears you wrestle with God for his blessing upon the household, upon the children, upon the church, and upon her, there she learns intercessory prayer from her head, her husband. I ask you, husbands, do you with some regularity study and speak to her of God's word? Do you read the scriptures with her? And when God opens that word to you, do you share that word with her? Is it natural for you to converse with your wife of the deepest, most intimate concerns of your soul? If not, husbands, I don't care what we are hiding behind in terms of natural reserve and shyness or saying, I don't have the time. God says to you and to me that we are to nurture and cherish our wives. And what is that? If it is not the concern and the leadership as her husband to lead her in prayer and in the study of God's word. I speak to you, husbands and fathers whose wives are mothers of small children. When of necessity your wife is cut off from the public means of grace in the care of the children, that is, when of necessity your wife cannot attend church because of the care of the children, do you intentionally and consciously labor for her spiritual development? Do you come back home from the service and do you tell her more than just a sentence or two of what the Word of God that you heard was about, which you were privileged to hear? Do you tell her the little tidbits of information of the church life that you picked up, not gossip, but the fellowship of God's people, so that even though she is cut off from the going to the house of God, she feels part of God's people? Husband, if your wife is a true saint of God, then she's going to feel like David did when he was cut off from the temple. And as he says in Psalm 84, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. When shall I appear before God?" Do you take that into account when she has to stay home and care for the kids? Do you nourish her and cherish her in terms of conscious labors for her spiritual development? But there's more. There's also the emotional and physical well-being of your wife. That's your calling from God, too. Yes. God says to the wife, and it's a word that all of us need to hear, but we need to hear it as wives. God says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication make your requests known to God, and the peace of God which passing understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." The Word of God says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." God speaks directly to you, wife, and he says, "Now you are accountable to me for your spiritual state of peace of soul, and you are also responsible for your fitfulness and nervousness." But at the same time, husband, you are to nurture and to cherish your wife. Do you seek to shield your wife from unnecessary emotional pressure? Do you seek to guard her from those things to which she is especially vulnerable? Some wives have emotional structures with weak points, some here, others there, some in this area, some in that. But a man who, according to 1 Peter 3, verse 7, dwells with his wife according to knowledge, seeks to know those weak points in the wall of her emotional structure, and he will stand there to fortify it, not with irate impatience, but with nurturing and cherishing her. That means you will take the conscious effort to assist her emotionally and all the demands of her time, as well as physically. We nurture the wife by having a concern for her total good, spiritually, yes, but emotionally and physically. But more, a husband's nurture and cherishing of his wife is performed by the conscious development of the marital relationship of husband and wife. Let's go back to the pattern. Who took the initiative and who continues the initiative in the union of Christ and the church? Do we? Does the church seek Christ first? No. As the poem has it, which I love, I sought the Lord, and afterwards I knew it was He who sought me. Who continues to sustain the relationship of the church to Christ? Do we? No, Christ does. By his continual intercession in spirit. That's the scripture. Read the scripture. Our Lord takes the initiative, for it is by grace. And our Lord sustains the union, for it is by his faithfulness. That is how the Lord nurtures and cherishes the church. Husbands, as the Lord the church, so nurture and cherish your wife. We are responsible to work at it, to work at the good of our union, of our marriage. You are responsible, husband, to maintain and to nurture your marital relationship. You may not ignore the problems. You may not sulk off in your self-pity. You're responsible. You're the head of your wife. Take time, says God, to communicate with her about other things than the demands of the family. It's bad enough when a couple don't take time to discuss the needs of the family, but it's worse when they only talk, really, when there's a problem. And then in that problem, they cut and hurt each other. Talk with her. Speak. Speak what's on your heart. Your frustrations, your work, your aspirations. Talk with her. Not because you think it's going to do any good or that she's going to change. Do it because this is the way Christ nurtures and cherishes his church. You might say, but she's not interested. That's no excuse. That may or may not be. Let's say that it is. It doesn't take away the word of Christ. Husbands, how are you to act as Christ to the church? I am so glad my Lord opens his heart to me, to the church. I am so thankful that the husband of the church, our Lord Jesus Christ, tells us his secrets and gives to us continual access to him through prayer. He says, come boldly, pour out your heart before me. He opens to us his word. Does your wife have to say to you, can I have a moment sometime this week to squeeze out a drop of what I'm thinking about and struggling with? Nurture and cherish her. Show her, as the Lord's representative, something of the quality of our Lord in his love to the church. Does she just get 3 minutes to unburden herself and then nothing but negative reactions from you? Sit down and talk with her about the areas of misunderstanding and tension in your marriage. And there will always be such areas, so long as we are in the flesh. Husbands, nurture and cherish your wife. Still more. It will manifest this nurturing and cherishing. It will manifest itself in the spirit of 1 Peter 3:7. You will dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. That means you are to know something about your wife. You are to know about her duties in the home, her weaknesses, her struggles and hardships, and then you are to dwell with her according to that knowledge, honoring her as the weaker vessel, taking her into consideration. Do you consult with her feelings on matters of the household and mutual life of the family? Do you say simply, "I'm the head"? Is that the approach you take? I'm the head. Really? Is that the way you go about it? Yes, you're the head, but she is your body. And you are one together before the Lord. And so her feelings and her wants are to be important to you, and you are to see them as the feelings and wants of your own body. It may even mean that for your wife's sake, you give up much of what you want for her good. Love seeks the good of its object. Nurture and cherish her in the knowledge of how you respond to her. Don't be bitter against them, says the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Husbands, don't be bitter. Husbands, your wife sometimes gives you reasons to be bitter. Yes, wives sometimes do things which would make a husband very angry and bitter. Husbands, says the Word of God, when you see those things, those sins, those weaknesses, don't react in bitterness. But it is an occasion to nurture and cherish her as the Lord, the Church. What does Christ do? Well, he says in Revelation 3, as many as I love, I rebuke. And then he tells us how to bring that rebuke in the love of his word. How does he deal with you, husband? When everything in your conscience condemns you, and as you stand before God in your own prayer, and you would shrink away from him, does he not in mercy restore you? The Lord is my shepherd, he restoreth my soul. You sing that, don't you? Psalm 23? You believe that? Does your wife see that in you? That's not seen in bitterness, in the silent treatment, in the volcanic eruption when your eyes are bulging with the wrath of man, but it's found in correcting her, rebuking her, and forgiving her. And how beautifully that is written in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as the Lord, the Church. Husbands, nurture and cherish your wife. You must remember that words hurt. The proverb says that words can be as a wound going down to the deepest part. Words spoken in haste and in bitterness can wound for weeks and crush a wife's spirit. Nurture her in the Lord. Then, in a wonderful way, the promise of God is realized. Ye are the salt of the earth. God's grace, God's beautiful grace, is seen in you. And more, the union of Christ in the church becomes seen and glorified in your marriage. You want that, don't you? That's the goal of your marriage, isn't it? Is that not the goal, Lord? From my union to my wife, may thy glorious union of Christ in the church be seen at least a little bit. Nurture and cherish her then. Don't be distant. Don't refuse to communicate. Don't plunk yourself down in front of the television for hours on end without being with her. And wives, pray for the husbands. You see the awesome responsibility God has placed upon your husband? He can't do that of himself. Pray for him. Husbands, deny yourself. Nothing as marriage has with it the call to discipleship, which is self-denial. Teach that to your son. Teach it specifically about what it is to be a husband and what it is to deny yourself. Tell him that. Your son by nature has the same nature you do, which is proud and arrogant. You want that proud and arrogant nature rampaging over some dear daughter of God someday? You have to teach him what it is to love a wife. He's not going to learn that from the world. He has to learn that from you. From you. The cord and the nerve of self-love has to be cut if we are to be in marriage. It has to be cut by the grace of God so that you don't live for yourself. You don't live for your pride, pleasure, lust, and self, but unto God. That's why marriage is used of God for sanctification in Christ, because day after day, running across marriage in the family is the call, crucify self. How we live in the home and with our wives is the test of our sanctification. Sanctification is the word which means holy living unto God. You want to know where the test of a holy life unto God is? Well, it's not found, first of all, in your life in the office or with the guys or on Sunday as you're fellowshipping in the church in the narthex. That's not where the test of holiness is found. You know where it's found? In all of those other areas, you can fool people, but it's found in your home, and then it's found in your marriage. Everything else can be a bluff. It's hard to bluff there. To be this kind of a husband, we have daily need to be before God in prayer, and it is by His grace, searching the Scriptures, and according to the faithfulness of Christ, that our marriages become havens of rest, a shining light to our children. What are our children learning of marriage from us? In this way of nurturing and cherishing a wife, the children grow up to reject all that the world is throwing at them, reject it as vanity and void. And they say, I don't believe a word of what the world is showing us concerning this use of the sexual nature and relationships between men and women. I see in my father and mother what is good and upright, virtuous and well-pleasing to God. I see that in my parents. I see the beauty of Christ in the church. I see the good of a Christian marriage. And God is glorified. Husbands, God speaks. Love your wife as your own body. Nurture and cherish your wife as the Lord, the church. In humble, dependent obedience, we may live in the assurance of the blessing of God all our days. Let us pray. Once again, Father, we have heard the things of thy word which for us are impossible. But we immediately remember that when we are brought to our inabilities, our Lord is the one who says, with me all things are possible. Bring us daily to thy throne, that we may contemplate the mysteries of thy grace, of Christ in the church, in order that arising from that place of prayer, we may put into practice that which our own souls have learned of thy mercy and tenderness as the husband of the church. Amen.